What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Bomber Strike Back Podcast. I am your host, BX Sports Jedi Kev. Yes, salute to everyone. I hope you guys are doing well. Let's talk about the big news in Yankee land today. The New York Yankees are on the verge of finalizing a trade that will bring the generational outfielder, 25-year-old, coveted Juan Soto. Now, I know you're going to say the deal isn't finalized. What's going on, Daniel? What's going on, Jose Melo? But 98% of the beat writers, the MLB beat writers, and etc., they all say this is inevitable. Only thing now is just the final dotting the I's and crossing the T's. So let's go. Let's call it. It's just like election night when they are about to reveal the new elected president. Well, we could say that this deal is coming to the New York Yankees. Christmas has come early for the New York Yankee fan base, a fan base that was very upset, very irate, wanted answers, asking the tough questions. Do we need a overhaul from general manager to players? One thing that can help the New York Yankees is acquiring this type of generational type of change of player. But before we even get into the breakdown of the Juan Soto, let's say hello to everyone in the chat. Salute to Daniel Barrow Sports, Mr. Jose Melo, as well as Hype Beast J. Salute. Let's go. And yes, I've got some little reports there. As you see, it's scrolling here. Right now, there is a delay on the Juan Soto trade coming from the San Diego side as they review the medical information. Stay tuned. That was the last tweet before I hit the go live button here on the Bronx Bomber Strike Back Podcast. And what I'm asking now is they're just checking out Michael King's records. Remember, Michael King had a scare. They didn't know he was going to have a Tommy John surgery and etc. And now he is... they're probably checking out, doing their due diligence, or maybe they had a last minute offer from another team that got a little desperate. They say stay tuned, but I think this is going to get done. Let me bring in Heel, who's going to join me this evening. Good evening, Heel. Good evening, Heel. How are you?
Hello.
Yes, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
Hello, Steven, joining us in the chat.
So
go for it.
So is the trade official? That's why it's in the bottom.
It's being held right now. They had the graphic already by Andy Martino. Welcome to New York, Juan Soto. But now their last second is there is a snag on the medical records. But everyone said this is a trade that's imminent. It's going to happen. Mr. Jerome, let's go. It's not I cannot say 100% is a sure thing, but everyone from the baseball world, it's saying 99.9% done. So we could kind of like in the United States when it comes to the election, we could say that, you know, we could projectively say that Juan Soto is going to New York. So, but I wanted to talk before we get right into it, because this is going to be a Juan Soto centric podcast tonight. Let's talk about the move the Yankees made 24 hours before. You know, the move for bringing in Verdugo from the Red Sox. First and foremost, that's the eighth time these two franchises make a deal. Of course, everyone knows the big strong one, of course, Babe Ruth coming over that changed the course of franchise and more than one way. When I saw that keel, I thought, all right, this is the Yankees making a move here, bringing Verdugo. I said, Verdugo probably here for a cup of coffee, 24 hours, and probably gets enticed to help the trades along for San Diego because San Diego does have a winning team. They just need to cut payroll. They need to cut costs. And I think Verdugo is under contract control as well, and that could help bring – and you don't really have to give up anything from your farm system or anything from the minor, from the major league team if you add a Verdugo. But then when you look at the deal, who's being moved, I'll get to that in a second, but let me ask you, Creel, did you think Verdugo was going to be part of the sweetening the pot deal for San Diego? like I was, or you just thought the Yankees was getting that just in case?
I was a little bit 50-50. I was like, obviously, you heard the rumors. You were like, oh, the Yankees plan on going after two outfielders. So you were like, okay, either he's definitely going to be a part of the Juan Soto deal, or he's going to be a sure thing to stay. So what I'm guessing is if Cashman and Aaron Boone and the powers that be, I'm guessing they're going to have Juan Soto play left, and then they're going to have Verdugo in right, because Verdugo has the better defense. I mean, we all know that. Here's the awkward thing, though. We all know Verdugo had some, let's just say, interesting interactions with the Yankee fans whenever he was the Red Sox. So I want to know, for people in the comment section and for you, Kev, how are you going to welcome Verdugo, knowing he had some weird interactions with, the Yankee fan base?
Here's my thought of Verdugo. I like it, and I'm going to give you my points of why I like it. Not because because he's a Yankee. No, here's my reason why. I'm not comparing myself, because this is small peanuts to what the New York Yankee organization is doing. I kind of understand it in a business aspect. Being, just because I run a hobby of a YouTube channel, it's still kind of treated like a small business in my point of view. Now, the reason why I say I like it, because now you bring Alex Verdugo, because I thought that was going to help the San Diego Padres, and it's because of this reason. When you bring Verdugo now to New York Yankees, and I know it doesn't hit much in the north part of the United States as much as it would have hit hard in San Diego, there is a great Mexican community in New York. And I know los Mexicanos, mi hermanos Mexicanos, do not watch much baseball. We know soccer or football is the number one sport. We know that. We get it. But you also want to bring that market where you can now market the Mexican fan base in Nueva York to come see the Yankees now. Oh, I know Boston is big too. Boston is great. But I don't think there's a lot of Mexicanos in Boston. I don't think there's a big community of Mexicanos in Boston like there is in Nueva York and in San Diego. That's why I thought it was going to help the Yankees, help them entice San Diego as a flipper, to flip them to San Diego. Because listen, if you remember, if you haven't, and for all those of you that are young, Google Fernando Venezuela. Fernando Mania was caught Los Angeles by storm, not just with the LA Dodgers fan base, also the Latino Americano. To see one of ours go out there like Fernando Venezuela, do what he does. I'm not saying Verdugo is going to be the next Fernando Venezuela, but you hear my point. You're now marketing to a new or a bigger Latino fan base where he could be a face of, not a face of a franchise, but a major player like a Verdugo. If you send him, and now in New York, you're catering to the Mexicano American fan base to come to Yankee Stadium. Because one thing I got to give credit to, La Cultura Mexicana, when they back up their players, and that's all Latin America, not just Mexicano, but even in Dominican and Venezuela, they back up their players. And now the Yankees are getting another source of revenue, bringing in Verdugo to now the jersey sales. You could, you get a Yankee jersey, off brand with a Mexico patch, a Verdugo on the back. I mean, I know, those are not an official Yankee shirt. You know what? But it's still merchandise that is licensed by the New York Yankees they could sell. Because I have a Jorge Posada New York Yankee jersey with the Puerto Rican flag. And again, the same thing is going to happen now with Juan Soto coming to New York. You're going to get right across, not 3-5 miles maybe from Yankee Stadium is Washington Heights. A lot of a heritage of Latino Americano, Dominican American and family there, that they support their players as well. This is about marketing now, making money. We're talking about the Yankees, talking about, well, how are we going to make money and afford a $300 million payroll? Well, when you bring players that you could market to that specific community, they're going to come out in droves to support it. Not just if they might get out ticketed heel, but guess what? The Yes Network ratings are going to go up. The merchandise, the hats, all the because let's face it, Yankee jerseys are a fashion statement. And you got a Verdugo now, you want a Soto, dude, is going to sell. And I like that move heel. I understand what this has to do with winning baseball games, but let's treat it like a business first.
Yeah, and I just got noticed that it's coming from San Diego side. They're taking the medicals of all the Yankees players. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I put that banner up. I put that banner up just a few seconds here, and it's right.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I did. I did put that banner up. Yeah, so I treat it first and foremost. That's why I like Verdugo, and I welcome him to the New York Yankees because of the business aspect. Now, the Yankees need left-handed hitters. What does that mean? You know, now you have Verdugo who could play possibly center. You could rotate these guys, Soto maybe a game or two in center. Judge, we saw, could play center, although with that toe injury and how valuable he was, you really don't want to mess around with that. Also, they got Gonzalez that they picked up from the Guardians as well. Also, they got Grisham in that deal. So they got a plethora of outfielders for the New York Yankees until Jason Dominguez. And you didn't give up Jason Dominguez either for a Juan Soto. You also kept Everson Pereira as well. So they kept a lot of these players that we hear the names from their minor league system. Austin Wells stays around. So they got rid of Higashioka. Now you look like it's going to be Trevino and Wells and Rovnett. Those are the three, whoever wins out in the spring training for that backup catcher is going to be an interesting competition heel. So the Yankees are adding depth and taking position of need, left-handed power for the ballpark at Yankee Stadium with the short porch. I'm really on board. I like it.
Well, yeah, obviously. But let's address the elephant in the room here. Let's just go ahead and address it. Number one, if this trade does go through, you're getting rid of one, Aaron Boone's favorite thing, pitchers. He loves these guys for both, especially Michael King. Michael King's the big one that's going over to San Diego. Aaron Boone's love these guys for both bullpen and starting. That's kind of like, okay, I get it. You're going to have to sacrifice something, but that's still something Aaron Boone loves. He loves his pitchers. Everyone knows that. The offense at the end of the day is going to be the offense. You know, we've seen that throughout the years, right? I mean, obviously they struggled mightily last year. But, I mean, from the first year that Aaron Boone was here, we can see that the offense can eventually step up, you know? And then not only that, you still got Aaron Boone as a manager. You still got the buffoon of all buffoons. So Juan Soto, he can go up there and hit three jacks a night with Aaron Boone hitting another one, you know, behind him and all that. But if a buffoon can't manage, then this is the year that he gets fired.
Oh yeah, we got a lot to also the whole roster hasn't been constructed. When it comes to Michael King, and I know Jerome asked a future ace in Michael King. Michael King is 29 years old, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, he's not an ace.
He is not a young. He's a third, a really good number three pitcher, I believe, is a ceiling. I look at me. I don't like to put limits or ceilings on my players on my team. You know, hashtag no limit Knicks, you know, and all that stuff. But projectedly, by what Major League Baseball scouts and know-it-alls are saying, Michael King is at best a number three starter, a really good starter who give you some innings. Also, he has a little bit of some issues with arms or staying healthy. You see fatigue as well become an issue for Michael King. And you have to give something good to get something great. It's like when you invest. You have to invest money for your money to multiply in stocks or in anything. So you have to give up something to get something. And this is a generational type of player. I know they say it's a one-year rental because he's going to hit the free agent market. But let's say he comes out here and he has a phenomenal season with the New York Yankees. He love it. He sees the toast of the town, dare I say, become a little more overpopular than Judge. He might want to stay. You know, he might want to, you know what? I really like New York. There's a lot of culture. Remind me a lot of things at home. I could get stuff that I couldn't get anywhere else. You know, he still has a house in the Washington area. He could, you know, it's in the cellar or a short drive to and from. It's a lot of positive for Soto coming to New York. And like you said, Hill, this is Boone's opportunity here. They're going to give him a arsenal to go out there and manage. And also with the addition of Brad Ausmus as a bench coach,
yeah,
it's going to help him as well. Another player, not because he's going to overstep Aaron Boone's authority or tell him how to run a team. Here's the reason why I like Ausmus in the role that he's in. Because now when Ausmus talks to players like a Soto or let's say a Gleyber Torres, the message is going to resend it. It's going to come to home because Ausmus was a former player. I believe he was manager of the year one time, if I'm not mistaken, when he came up. Or candidate. Or he was a finalist, a manager of the year. Let's go with that. I might have the facts a little cloudy or not, but he still was a pretty good manager for a while, short term wise. And he played. He knows the struggles, the ups and downs as a major league player than a Carlos. No disrespect to Carlos Mendoza, because I wish him a lot of luck with the New York Mets. But Mendoza, I don't remember him being a major league player. Yes, you could command respect, but also when you've been there and you've been in the trenches, people tend to listen more and, oh, you've been there. You know what? I've walked in those shoes before. You know, there's a saying in Spanish, and I'm going to try to translate it in English. While you were crossing the river, I'm already on the other side dry. And that resonates when you talk to people that way. So it's interesting there. I like that move for him getting that bench coach, Ausmus. Yankees now have to pivot now to starting pitching. Now, the news come out that the Yankees are going to meet Monday with Yamamoto for a meeting. We also, Steve Cohen flew to Japan and met him secretly. Now it's coming out because now the Yankees are going to meet Yamamoto. I don't know. He's trying to put a monkey wrench into the derail the Yankees. We all know Yamamoto wants the Yankees. I've got a little concern when it comes to Yamamoto. He is 5'9" pitcher. He's used to pitching 6 days a week with that, and the way we see certain Japanese pitchers struggle with that 5 day, it's kind of like Senga, but Senga's a good pitcher. That's just an adjustment thing. I'm just worried why the Japanese team posted him at 25 years old. They usually wait until 29, close to 30 before they get posted and able to go to the major league clubs. That's just a red flag to me. I'm just being skeptical or cynical on why Yamamoto is so young. Do I have a right there to be a little bit burnt or have a little bit buyer's remorse here, or talk to me off the ledge?
It's normal to be skeptical of anyone coming over seas from Japan. That's just normal. As far as like him being posted at the age of 25, that's because he's been really good ever since he came up at a young age. The guy just flat out has superstar potential. I mean, and when it comes to pitchers, I call me new school or whatever, I don't really worry too much about their high ever. It's all about, to me, how you can throw the ball. Can you throw it for strikes? What's your movement on them? But the only thing that's not new school about me is I don't care if you reach 100. I don't even care if you can reach, 99 or whatever. All I care about is, can you throw strikes? Can you get the batter out?
Correct.
How do you pitch? You pitch your contact, I don't even care if you give up fly balls at a high rate. As long as you're getting the out, you're getting the out. Like, I just want to feel comfortable when you're on the mound. You know what I mean? There's nothing more comforting as a baseball fan than when, a pitcher's on the mound and they announce their name. You're like, whew, this should be a relaxing game. All right, let's go. I think Yamamoto has the potential to be that pitcher. Now, obviously, like I just told Kev, you have a right to be skeptical? Absolutely. That just comes with the territory of anyone crossing over into the big times, Los Grandes Ligas.
Because
Japan, they have really good talent, but are they the major leagues? No. Are they close, though? Absolutely. I mean, they beat us in the WBC. But, they're as close as it's going to get.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with the talent in the Japanese baseball league. But I still have that worry And also, listen, there's been a history with the pitchers at a certain height. They pitch well, but they don't have a longevity career. Johan Santana, even the great Sandy Koufax's career was a little short due to, you know, it wasn't a long career, but it was a great career, Hall of Fame career. You know, are the Yankees? Here's the thing: I'm worried about how many years it's going to take Yamamoto to sign with the New York Yankees. Are they going to get that full 7 years? I think it's going to take 7 years for Yamamoto to come to New York. 7 years, he's 32 years old. And that's still good. That's still phenomenal. You know, he could still get a second contract. But that's just my worry. You know, the short term, I always think of Johan. I think of Pedro Martinez himself, the way he broke down at that height. He was phenomenal. I mean, you could tell me, you know, who's more electric than Pedro Martinez? You know, in our era of baseball, watching it in the steroid bowl era, he was phenomenal. That's just gets me worried. All right, let me send it down. So, Keel, before I'm going to send, so we're going to have Hype Beast J join us. I would like you to address Mr. Brandon Schultz. He's a very good follower of the channel. Always comes on, always cordial, says hello. Talk to me about the Astros. Look like they might have a new catcher, and I'll set up the link for a Hype Beast.
So the Astros have a backup catcher now. It's nothing really big. It's Victor Carantini. He's going to be there, I believe, for 1 year. But their new starter is Yainer Diaz. So this tells me that's probably the end of an era with Martin Maldonado. And I'll be honest with you, especially now that it looks like Kyle Higashioka's gone, what I think would be a smart idea, actually, so I'm kind of glad he brought it up, why don't the Yankees sign Martin as a backup? And that way he could be, or as a third catcher even, and he could be a mentor to both Trevino and Austin Wells, especially Austin Wells, because Martin, he has really good baseball IQ. That's part of the reason why the Astros loved him for so many years. So I think that'd be really smart for the Yankees to just have him as like that third catcher, like a mentor, you know, Austin Wells. Because imagine Austin Wells, he'll learn how to hit from just watching Trevino. Then you have a guy that can teach him amazing defense. Sounds good to me.
Let me hold you there for a minute. I don't know. I as much as I would love to the contemplate of Martin Maldonado, who is a World Series catcher who knows how to navigate Paul a pitching Bobby's. Staff.
Yeah.
But we have Ben Roughneff and Jose Chirino under contract. Remember, Yankees aren't if all is correct, they look like they're going to be close to over the $310 million threshold. I don't know if Martin Maldonado will be in their grasp to go over. I don't know. You know, it looks like he's going to probably get something like around $15 million a year for Martin, or even more. You know, I'm just throwing that hypothetical out there. I don't know if they will. It's a smart move, Hill. I personally that would be a nice move there, unless you're really going to go all in and put your chips in the center. And Milwaukee said he's not going to be traded. You could try to entice a Austin Wells with some pitching. You still kept some players to try to go get Corbin Burns. But I don't think that's just us now going on a 2K, you know, MLB The Show type of general manager mode, which is, you know, let's stick with the more like within the coloring book lines. I think, you know who Martin Maldonado will be a good pickup for the Mets. Be honest with you. If he's not coming back to the Astros, you bring him on to the Mets with Kodai Senga. You have some pitchers there. I think that's something great. Let's bring in Jason, who's going to join us here. And let me get him on. Jason, welcome, welcome, welcome. Great to have you back on the show. Long time we haven't spoke. What's going on, man?
Man, I'm just waiting for the news like everyone else.
I think it's done, Jay.
Yeah, it's done, but like this one thing that has me worried, like when it comes down to these medical stuff, especially with the kid Drew Thorpe is included in the deal. I know he got hurt at the end of the year, and his season ended. He was on the IL stint, so it's very vague. They didn't say exactly like what was wrong with him, but that wasn't too long ago, so I'm a little concerned, I'm not going to lie. But I think, like you said, I think it's done. I think maybe they're just being a little picky and just nitpicking everything. But I think if Cashman and Boone left, like the reports are saying, mm-hmm. then the deal is pretty much is done.
And they say Cashman was walking around with a shit eating grin all up and down all day, you know, like couldn't, you know, like he can't keep a secret with smile. And to me, I think they were checking on Michael King, to be honest with you. You said Thorpe, I think King's record, because King, remember, he avoided surgery, he had a scare, and you know, what is he going to get? But for the Padres, they're getting some good, an arm that could go right in, an arm that's about a year away in Thorpe, Vasquez. They're getting some nice haul for a rental. Unless of another team, they're trying to bid the Yankees one more time with another team. But when everyone is saying this is the medicals are being exchanged, that's going to the commissioner's office for the seal of approval. They just got to wait for the medicals. The medicals clear. It looks like it's going to get done. But I understand everyone's or being skeptical on that falling through. Listen, I'm a Jet, Knicks, and Yankee fan. I know when things go bad. I mean, my quarterback went down four plays into the season. So I wouldn't be surprised if things go a little south as well, Jason. So, you know, I get your sentiment there. What's your thoughts on Verdugo real quick, bringing on to the New York Yankees? I know if you heard my thoughts about the market and as a business aspect, but give me your thoughts.
Oh, I think as a player, I like Verdugo. I've always liked him. He's a dog, man. That guy's he's a player and he's clutch. Like he comes up big in the big, when the lights are on, he shows up. My only concern is I don't know if you remember, but last year he had an issue with Alex Cora. Like, I think he was showing up late to ball games, and Cora put him on the bench, and he was like, that's unacceptable. So, I don't know. I like him as a player, but I'm hearing things that, like, other players don't like him. He's not a very good teammate, so I'm not sure. But I know we need his bat in this lineup. Him, Soto, Judge, if we keep Torres, if Stanton can at least do a little bit better than he did last year, if Rizzo wakes back up, I think we have a really good lineup. I expect Volpe to do better this year.
Yes.
If DJ can be half the DJ he was before, I think we'll be in good shape, to be honest.
I agree with you on that. Let me ask Hill, while I make this next statement here, I need you to check, when is Alex Verdugo eligible for free agency? How much team control the Yankees have for Alex Verdugo? Because Hill's really good at that. That's his really strong niche. My point, if Verdugo has that stigma, a change of scenery could help him. And the reason why I asked Hill to find out how much time he has left on his deal is nothing motivates a major league player trying to get that bag, or any professional athlete. When they're about to hit free agency or they're close to it, they behave like the model citizen. Yeah, Hill, you got that information from me.
Oh, yeah. And look at Cody Bellinger.
The same year Juan Soto is, so they're both on.
It's a one-year rental.
Agent the same year Juan Soto. Yeah, for both.
So you're bringing two. Here's the thing. Hey, let me paint this scenario. You're bringing in two left-hander, right, who are going to their free agent in the short porch. Oof. That doesn't make you excited, Yankee fans. I don't know what will.
I think my only concern with it, go ahead, Hill. Sorry. What were you going to say?
So this is what has me worried if I'm a fan. This is what has me worried if I'm a fan then, okay? Because, unless I'm reading this wrong, let's see, next year 24, 25, so yeah, basically 1 year rental. So this is what has me worried then. If you're going to bring in these rental players, right, you're basically telling your fans, we're going all out this year. That's it, all out, you know? So that means at the trade deadline, you guys should expect at least one or two moves. At the very minimum.
But
someone's leaving again at the trade deadline.
Yeah, the Yankees.
But they have to be really good moves, especially for the rotation. Like, I would say one for the rotation and probably one for the bullpen at a bare minimum. Because, you know, it's like I always say, if I'm a Yankee fan and I'm seeing what I'm seeing right now, I'm like, okay, this is good. I am excited for this season. But... and there's always a but with any kind of type of sports conversation. if you don't go all in this year, and you know, bring me that World Series after all this work, after all this excitement, you're really going to piss a lot of people off. Because then Juan Soto might leave. So will Verdugo, possibly. And that's going to get everyone riled up. And you, if you thought they were mad before, when you weren't trying, I can only imagine how things are going to be afterwards. And trust me, Cashman, and Aaron Boone especially, you two need to go balls to the wall this year. There's no turning back once you get Soto, and now that you got Verdugo. Get that help. Get that team on the field. Get that medical staff straight. And just go all for it. And don't look back. Because trust me, as soon as you do, you're going to regret all of this possibly. And that's not me being negative or anything like that. That's just me being straightforward with the fan base. It's win or go home this year. That's basically what the mentality has to be. Win or go home. Especially considering the Blue Jays are still the favorites, or one of the favorites, to get Shohei. Like, you need to win. Dennis Aganad.
I get that. We know that. Listen, I think Howe is willing to go over $300 million. Howe just took himself out of getting the crosshairs of the Yankee fan base. If the Yankees, let's say the Yankees have a repeat, or knock on wood, no, have a bad situation with the team again, they don't make the postseason, they fall short of expectation, Jason and Hill. We know Boone is on his final year of a deal. He's going to either get extended or they're going to make a move. Cashman will probably be gone, will be either moved, elevated, or designated for his job somewhere else. We'll get and they brought in Brad Ausmus. Maybe Brad becomes interviews for the managerial role. We know changes are there if they don't meet expectation, because they put, I think, Hal, by going in and getting these Soto, Verdugo, possibly, you know, in on Yamamoto, he's showing the effort. He heard us, Yankee fan. He sees the how irate the Yankee fan is. He's making moves to protect his butt with the fan base, because before all of this happened, Yankees only had 60% of ticket sale renewals. They're still a 40% unsold ticket subscription or renewals in Yankee Stadium this season. So, Yankee fans, you did a hell of a job making your voice heard by not renewing that 40% that didn't really hurt the Yankees. Like, whoa, wait a minute, 40%, that's a lot of money that the fan base don't want to come to my ballpark. And now you bring Soto, you Yamamoto, you're going to see ticket sales go skyrocket, especially on the Christmas time. So again, I go back to the business aspect, and I think Hal is making moves there. Jason, what's your thoughts on that?
No, I think he had no choice, to be honest. Like, their backs are against the wall. Look, Judge is in his 30s. Like, our window is very small. Gerrit Cole just pitched the season of his life. And I feel like if we don't win in the next few years with Judge and Cole, then do you really expect to get this production from those two guys in their late 30s, you know, mid-30s, late 30s, whatever it is? So I think they understand that, like, they have to. And I feel like when they signed Judge, I feel like they made him a promise. Like, look, we're going to be the Yankees again. We're going to go after these guys. We're gonna put the team around you. You're going to win with us by the time it's all said and done. And they haven't lived up to their end of the deal. So I think they had to. And also, man, because, man, Yankees fan, I know me personally, I'm like ready to revolt, man. I mean, I would never stop watching the Yankees. I will always be a fan.
Right.
But if last year felt like I was in an abusive relationship, like, I don't know how to get out of this, you know? Like, I keep telling myself they're going to change, but nothing's changed. It's always the same thing. So I'm excited. Even if, look, I get it, you know, Juan Soto's not going to him himself is not the answer to all our problems, but at least I have something to look forward to, something to cheer for this year. And that excites me. I don't know about everybody else, but I'm good with that. Even if we don't land Yamamoto or anything, I'm happy that I have another player, have a reason to watch. Like,
right.
Exciting.
Right. I'm with you. I got to the point where, you know, when the Yankees fell out of the final wild card, I stopped the watch-alongs. I started covering wrestling, because what was the point? They're not going anywhere. They're not playing better. They're not even making an attempt to change their style. They keep doing the same thing, like insanity. And I just needed a break. I can't even believe the team that I love from the Bronx just got me to that point of tapping out. You're like, oh my goodness. And I'm glad Soto's here. I also like the Verdugo move. Let's talk about Yamamoto. I gave my thoughts of Yamamoto. I'm a little, you know, I asked Hill to talk me off the ledge there. What I see from his highlights intrigues the living crap out of me, you know, because one thing that the Yankees won World Series with when they were part of Mel Stottlemyre's philosophy is throwing the splitter. And Yamamoto throws that splitter. And I think when I think of the splitter, and I'm not talking about just one pitch, ladies and gentlemen, but I bring good memories. Cone threw the splitter. You know, then they got Clemens to throw the splitter. Pettit, you know, other guys started throwing the splitter down and they were winning World Series. Tanaka, you know. And not saying because they're throwing the splitter, they're going to win the World Series. No, ladies and gentlemen, don't misinterpret it. But that's the right philosophy. And we saw players criticize the pitching sequence of the Yankees trying to throw sliders. And how many times I said on the broadcast, I hate that damn slider. They keep throwing it at the wrong time and getting hit over the fence. And I'm not saying all in all splitter, but I like the intrigue of what Yamamoto throws. Man, what's your thoughts, Jason, on Yamamoto? Yay or nay? And what's the threshold?
I'm team Yamamoto this year. But at a certain price, let's be realistic. The guy's never pitched in the major leagues at all. He hasn't thrown one pitch in the major leagues. Yeah. And we're ready to dish out $300 million or whatever the price is that they're saying now. I don't know. It's a little crazy if you ask me. But I want it badly. But, let's be realistic. At what price? Is it like, you know, it's not worth it anymore?
I would like to see the Yankees give him 210 for 7 years.
The thing is, I don't think 210 is going to do it.
I know, because you have Cohen probably give like 250 or even close to 275. Exactly. Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm on the – I don't know. What do you think, Hugh? What's your price for Yamamoto?
Well, you got to remember, you got to pay for the posting fee that goes to the Japanese team. And then you got to pay for his contract too. Mm-hmm. So, he's a really talented ball player. Like overall, I mean that's the reason why he got posted early. So his contract, I would probably try to get him in the neighborhood for around 200 mil probably, and then give the team at least like 30 mil somewhere on that.
Oh, it's a set fee for the post. The posting fee is a set fee. I'm not too sure. I think it's like 20 million.
Yeah, so I mean he's gonna be expensive. I mean the guy, I mean he's hyped up and everything for a reason. I mean, and obviously, like I told Kev, you take a gamble and you have every right to be speculative for a good reason. But if he does pan out and everything like that, you're talking about a top like two pitcher at the bare minimum. And on top of that, I think the Yankees should go after him because Carlos Rodon, for some reason, I don't know if it's the medical staff or his mentality, or maybe he just didn't care because after they came back, the Yankees were already kind of showing signs of like slowing down. I don't know what was it, but it would be nice to have a nice, comfortable number two behind Gerrit Cole.
Oh, yeah.
Like one that you can at least reset your mind to. Because I think if you go to most Yankee fans, they would probably tell you right now, I like Rodon at number two, but I'm not comfortable with it.
Right.
Like, they're actually like kind of worried now with Rodon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, the way he played last year. So I think if you're a cashman, you do have to sign Yamamoto, especially now that you're going all in this year, like I said.
They already agreed on the players, Mohegan. Dominguez is not part of the deal. They're just going over the medicals.
Yeah,
that deal is almost close there. Should the Yankees trade for Dalen Cease? Dalen Cease.
I don't think the White Sox are moving him.
I butchered it. I know Kimbrel signed with the Orioles.
I got a report on him. Yeah, I got a report on him. Apparently, the White Sox have pulled back on any trade talks on Dalen Cease. So apparently, they plan on keeping him.
Yeah, Same thing was with Corbin Burns.
Stupid on the White Sox.
Corbin Burns pulled back.
For now. I think once a lot of these pieces start falling off the market, then the guys like Dylan Cease or Corbin Burns, their value is going to go up. And then maybe, you know.
Because they're waiting, Jason. They're waiting to see what Yamamoto is going to make. For a pitcher that, like you said, has never pitched in the major leagues, never thrown a pitch, see what they get, and then everyone else, the market. Then the Jordan Montgomerys and players like that, see what they're going to ask. What's their market value per franchise? And also the Shohei Ohtani, who I'm scared of pitching or coming to the East Coast. I don't believe one bit that he's going to Toronto. One bit. And also, I'll get to him in a minute. Yamamoto also comes with, and I was talking about the Mexican-American market in New York, as well as the Dominican market. Also, now you get the Japanese TV rights to televise Yamamoto starts to Japan. So just think about that. If Yamamoto's on the East Coast pitching with Senga, with the Mets, and then you have Shohei, if he stays on the West Coast, now you got baseball for the Japanese market almost 24/7 to showcase to them to show, and those teams that get those rights will get some money to put that there. So it's all about business aspects there. Now back to the Shohei Ohtani, the novelty act that's called Shohei. I don't get it. Baseball is right now. Can we agree? Baseball popularity wise is taking a way of a step back from the major other two sports, from basketball and football. They're not no longer America's pastime.
What do you think, Hugh?
Boxing is now America's pastime, because it's like that's gone way back. It's like far possible. I mean, when you got the Paul brothers like being the most popular, there's an issue.
The major team sports. I feel baseball is getting closer to that hockey territory because the World Series numbers, it's regional. It's not becoming a nationwide thing. It's becoming more regionally populated. And my point is, whenever MLB or let's say football or basketball have their free agency, transactions go quick. I mean, and I'm not saying the baseball has to do it fast, but the excitement, the buzz, the talk about this guy signs with this one talks about, heck, Kevin Durant, we knew where he was going before the tampering period was over. We heard about teams standing in front of his house to knock on his door at 12 o'clock with Shohei Ohtani, who's supposed to be the biggest free agent in MLB history. He doesn't want no one talking about it or where I'm going and what leaked out. If I'm the commissioner, who, by the way, is the worst commissioner in all of pro sports, they need to make some excitement, some buzz, some get people talking about it, where Shohei shows up next.
Go ahead. You're right, man. You're totally right. I think if it was the NBA, when LeBron James is a free agent, I mean, they parade that guy around the whole country, meeting with every team, knowing he's probably not going to sign with them, but they want it front and center. You want to steal the headline from the NFL, from the NBA. You know, you want to take that headline away, and yeah, you got the biggest superstar, probably one of the biggest on the planet, and nobody knows where he's at. You know, quiet.
So. Yeah, we want to know if he had the creme brulee with the Padres, or he had the creme brulee with the Dodgers. What did the Dodgers offer him? Did they give him tacos? You know, or in Toronto, what did he have for lunch? You know, what was the meeting like? You know, when Barry Bonds was, I remember when Barry Bonds was free agent, and Greg Maddux. We knew what play Greg Maddux went with the Yankees and Steinbrenner. What Broadway play? Where they ate? What street they took? And nothing. And that's how you dominate the offseason hot stove. You know, let the reporters report. Also a bidding war begins that way, because you don't know what's going on. Let the beat writers do their jobs there. That's why it's exciting, because you hear about the noise. Yes, do I get mad sometimes with the clickbait? Yeah, it's clickbait. But you know what? When you're talking about the sport, you're hearing reports, people talk about it. Now people draw interest. But now he sounds like a prima donna. Don't know. You told my business, I'm not going to sign with you. I mean,
it's not a prima donna thing. I think it's more of a culture thing. Because again, like, he is Japanese. And he's basically, you know, he wants to respect not only the team's privacy, but his own privacy. And, you know, obviously he's not going to get mad if it gets late, because he's around my age. He understands we live in a social media type age. He kind of just wants to like give other players the spotlight and stuff like that. But he understands who he is,
the Dodgers reprimanded Dave Roberts for saying they took a meeting with him. That's not good.
Though that's on Dave Roberts, though. That's not on Shohei. Yeah.
I think I'm not sure if
why.
Yeah, they got upset. I mean, because I understand though, because if you really want this guy, and he's telling you, look, don't put my business out there. I mean, you got to respect, everybody has their own personal preference, and I get that. Overall, for the sport, I don't think it's a good look.
Right.
But hey, man, I mean, if that's what he wants, you know.
Yeah.
I know me personally, I've never been famous or anything, but I probably wouldn't want, you know, you got family, you got, you know, you want, especially in the offseason, you want to have a life, live a private life. I mean, we all know Otani, but I bet if you walk by him on the street, you probably wouldn't even know it was him.
No, and because
no. I would.
You would?
I would. Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's a lot of people that call him the LeBron James of baseball, which, I mean, he is easily recognizable, not just because he's Asian, but because, like, the guy is a megastar now in sports. There's no denying that. I think on top of that, the guy does have an aura about him.
Nah, I wouldn't notice.
Well, we won't know what's gonna happen.
I would notice a guy like Aaron Judge or
right. He is awfully tall though. He is a tall fella.
Is he really?
He is a tall fella. Mm-hmm. He is like about 6'3", 6'2".
Yeah, Aaron Judge is like 6'7".
I'm talking about Shohei. Shohei's a pretty tall fella.
Shohei's like 6'4".
Yeah, he's a pretty tall fella. He's a tall fella. You're like, whoa, who's, you know. Yeah, and to Jose Mello's point, when A-Rod was a free agent, you knew that he wanted a private jet. He wanted an office in Shea Stadium. You know, and we hear the demands on somebody, although some of them might be fabricated or embellished a little by, but there is talk about it. You don't even hear that with him going elsewhere and other teams like that. And here's the thing. Most of the time, you're only a free agent, in most cases, maybe once or twice in your career. You want to get wine and dine and show that you're worth, you know, and you're, how many times are you going to be? Because let's say he signed a 13-year deal. He's not going to be a free agent again. So why not get the experience? Let them talk about you. Let them make the fuss. The more they talk about, the more buzz you are in the media, the more, guess what? Cha-ching, your price range continues to go up because now there's a bidding war. Where you're going to land? Where is Waldo? Where is the great novelty act that's called Otani landing? And that's another thing. And I'm glad he said he had no interest in coming to New York. It killed that rumor. I'm glad. I've never been a fan. I'm not a fan, and I won't be. And I'm glad he's not falling into that or using the Yankees as leverage. I respect him. I'll take my cap off to the novelty act for not using the Yankees as leverage. Yeah. Otani is going to the Giants.
I didn't hear he had no interest, but
yes, he did. It's, you look at in Twitter. He had no interest in New York. He wouldn't see himself playing in New York.
Yeah, he said that. Yep. He couldn't see himself. And you know why? He hasn't performed really. Every time he came to Yankee Stadium, he didn't do too good.
No. Was it two innings tops, maybe?
One day we got him out there, like, in. I don't think he lasted. He probably got, like, 5 outs. And
Yeah. I remember that one. I mean, is he a good player? Absolutely. And he's also coming out. He still had Tommy John. He's not going to pitch this year. He's relegated to designated hitter role. I mean, he could work for the Mets. For the past 2 years, they've been offensively dreadful. I know the Yankees last year, but we already got a logjam at the designated hitter role with Giancarlo Stanton. Now you're going to rotate with the players we receive. Otani didn't fit the Yankees, even if they didn't get Soto. It just did not fit the New York Yankees. I'm glad that they didn't go that avenue. They didn't succumb too much of the fan base, you know, they didn't go for an emotional signing there. I think that's where you could see the business aspect because it was George, maybe George might have went and signed Otani, threw a shitload of money at him.
I think it, for the prices, it's not even worth it to me.
No, honestly. You're going to be relegated.
I actually have Ohtani stats in New York.
Oh, what is it?
This is what I like have about his stats in New York.
Where are they?
Let's see. He has 16 runs, 17 hits. He's hit three doubles. He's had one triple. He has nine home runs.
In New York City or versus New York?
No shutouts.
Yeah.
They're all versus New York.
Yeah, but no, I'm talking about like, and I know he's dominated us, but at the stadium, he's
not that good in Yankee Stadium in Anaheim, yeah. and some of his games, the Yankees have won.
This is awesome.
Him hitting.
You guys have intentionally walked him 15 times.
I mean,
rightfully so.
Yeah, you walk him, you take the bat out of his hand, and see who else beats you on the Anaheim.
I think Ohtani is a.
He has
49
for $70 million a year. I don't think so, because that's what's going to take. You look like it's going to be close to 60 to 70 a year.
He's grounded into two double plays in his whole entire history against New York.
Yeah, no, but I mean, and I know he's killed us, especially at Anaheim. He's killed us so many times, but I don't know. Maybe it's just that one game that I remember that we got him out of there really fast. And
there was two. There's two Yankee Stadium games that he didn't pitch well. He wasn't so great. And they've got the Yankees pitching wise got his number, but on the road, the Yankees show he's a different player at Anaheim. And that's why it's interesting to see if he stays. Your gut feeling, I think he stays. I think he signs with the San Francisco Giants, man.
You think so?
They've been striking out on getting big players, Correa, Judge. They've got a lot of money. It's close still to the West Coast. Also, San Francisco, the Giants, I believe one of the Japanese teams are the Giants in Japan. I don't know if he played for them or not, but they could get the TV rights. There's a big Japanese American community in San Francisco. You could say the same thing about the Dodgers. We don't have to move much, but I think all in all, you know, don't feel a dark horse is the Mariners. The Mariners, although they haven't mentioned anything, maybe he wants to keep it quiet because he doesn't want a team to come and outbid the Mariners, and he kind of want to quietly, sneakily sign with the Mariners. You know, they have a lot of the way they treated Ichiro, right? The former owner used to be from the owner of Nintendo, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, former Japanese owner. There's a lot of nice stuff when it comes to the Seattle Mariners. Who knows? You never know. That's a dark horse, Jason. I think that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they say last minute Mariners gets Shohei Ohtani. I'm be like, you know what? I could see that.
I mean, do they have the money, though? That's the thing. But I tell you what, last year, towards the end of the year, when he was every time the Angels visited Seattle, like the fans were going crazy for him. They were holding up signs. The whole stadium giving him standing ovations. So they want him there. Yes. I mean, I would love to have Ohtani, but it's just the price tag. I don't think how I would do it personally.
No,
it's just
no,
too much. I don't think he'll do it. And I don't think I would want the Yankees to do it either.
I don't want him on. I've been saying a no for over a year. No, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. Let's go here. We need pitching. Hello, Maria. Salute to Maria joining us here tonight. Thank you, Maria. Good to see you. Miss talking to you, Maria. Now, let's out of Yamamoto. There's a lot of different names. Jordan Montgomery. Personally, I've said this. I'm on record. I would like the Yankees to try to get on a prove-it deal. Even if you have to pay them $13 million the way you pay Severino got from the Mets for Frankie Montas. I would not mind a healthy Montas back in the rotation with the New York Yankees. I hated the trade because he came injured. But if he is fully healthy a year away with a strong rehab out there, I think he threw in the winter ball in Dominican League. I would like to see Frankie Montas return to New York Yankees as your number five, four starter. Is he really as bad as Domingo Germán? I mean, I know Herman's got a perfect game in his notch, but a healthy Montas, I kind of would like to see that if you get him on a good deal.
I mean, we might have to at this point if we don't land Yamamoto, right? I mean, we just lost King. You know, Drew Thorpe, he was supposed to be coming up this year. I mean, we was expecting him to probably, you know, make his major league debut this year. I mean, we might have to, and especially we, depending on how much money we give Yamamoto, if we do sign him. I mean, honestly, it's hard to say because he pitched so poorly with us, Frankie Montas, when he was here, and then got hurt and everything. I don't know. Do you want to risk it? You know, because he's gonna want at least what Seve got. What did Seve get from the Mets? $13 million.
$13 million. I wouldn't mind that. If we could get him a 13,
1 year, 13 million.
I wouldn't mind that. But he's a Scott Boras client. Unless the Yankees would now with you know what. You guys will be the first with Soto when he becomes a free agent. If you take care of Montas here, maybe, you know, there's always been those kind of moves with a Boras agent. I would like to see Frankie Montas here with some options there. I think he will work. I think he will work. I think Montas will be an energized pitching. Of course, if you get Yamamoto, no pressure there. Rodon, you know, and Cole. He's not called to be a number one. Go out there, be a good pitcher. Give me six innings, and pitch well. And if he wants to make make more money, a new contract, he's going to be motivated. Where he's going to go up against other teams, number fours or number fives. Where he's going to have if he pitches well, what we know what Montas could do with the Athletics before getting injured, that's a good caliber pitcher there. I mean, he could really set himself up for a big payday in 2025.
Yeah. I mean, our rotation, I don't know. What do you think? We got Cole, obviously, on top. Rodon. Mm-hmm.
Clark Schmidt.
Yes, I don't know about Schmidt. To be honest, I'm not.
I got you, too. I don't feel comfortable with him as a number three either. And you also got Nestor Cortez. Don't forget Nestor Cortez.
Yeah, but, I mean, last year he was
getting hurt left and right. The pitch clock.
The pitch clock, maybe, and they took away that lore from him, and maybe because also he the year before he pitched the most innings he has. Maybe there's an acclimation to his body or strength, or now he knows what he has to prepare for in off season after coming off a big amount of innings. Maybe he understands now to got to get his body correctly or his arm for pitching the amount of innings that is expected from him to have that All Star appearance that he had the year prior. Maybe that could help Nestor Cortez. Coming in here to this 2024 season for the New York Yankees. Those are questions. They're all questions. Those are all ifs. And damn, for a team that we don't want to hear a lot of ifs, if this goes well, if goes well, because we were going into that last season and everything that went wrong did go wrong. So, ugh.
You know what? I'm concerned about the bullpen, to be honest. Like, what do we have in the bullpen now? You know, like, I feel like we need to get more depth in the bullpen, and maybe add a starter, whether it's Yamamoto or another reliable starter, and then we should be all right. But
well, I'm glad you mentioned bullpen, and I don't know if they, you know, since like we said, Hill, the Yankees are like they're probably pushing in to go all in, and you can't get it. Of course, you cannot get an all star in every position. I'm not trying to be this is not MLB the show, general manager mode, but the Guardians have put on the market
Class A.
What are the inquiries there? You know, Everson Pereira there. You know, no Dominguez, no Spencer Jones. I don't think that warrants to get a Class A, but you could talk about some other players that you have there. Sweeney, another player that could be out there for a Class A. I will try to kick the thoughts on mine. I think Class A could work in New York. He has electric stuff, man. Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think, Hugh?
Well, Here's like the downside of that though. Yeah, you could trade some of the players to get Class A, and that obviously that would be a nice move. But obviously, like we just stated, like if Juan Soto and Verdugo leave, now who takes the outfield? Because you just got rid of Pereira, who was supposed to be your left fielder if you didn't get Soto, or even someone like.
Yeah, that's why Dominguez, if you hold on to Dominguez, you also have Spencer Jones, who's been highly touted. And my goodness, you know, this guy at 6'7", looks like the left-handed Aaron Judge. You know, if you hold on to him, if you don't move him, and if it, you know, if you could take and you could move that kind of player for the Class A, then you kind of want to hear about it. And also, you got Gleyber Torres, like Austin said. Gleyber Torres, is, you know, he is still under team control for another 2 years. I mean, he's arbitration eligible here. And that's a name that you could move him. Miami has good pitching, or you could swing a three-team deal and try to get your closer.
I thought Gleyber only had one more year of control.
One more year? You're probably correct.
Is it one more? I'm not sure. And then what about Class A? If they put him on the market, he must be on the last year of his control, you know? Like, I'm not sure.
Maybe two, because you want to do one more year. You want to give a team a one full year of Class A, and then then he goes into his final year, where he does, you know, they don't want to pay where you still got 2 years of control. What is arbitration number? Maybe because he's been such a one of the top notch closers in Major League Baseball. Hey. Arbitration numbers might be. Go ahead, Keel.
You got 2 years of control of Verdugo. I just wanted to verify that.
Verdugo, okay. So that's value right there. That's value. That's in case Judge. That's in case Soto does walk. You can't sign him. You have Verdugo there. We're now with Dominguez, and maybe Special Jones will come in the middle, you know, and fight for that last playoff outfield depth. And also, remember, Gonzalez from the Guardians is on this team on a minor league, you know, deal, but you never know, it major league experience.
And we have that other guy from the Padres if this deal goes through.
Yes.
Grisham.
Yes.
He's a left hand. I mean, from what I remember, he's not a very good hitter, but he's excellent on defense. So, and he's a center fielder, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Even sweeter.
Yeah, he's a center fielder. But yeah, if he doesn't hit, don't be surprised.
See, I don't know how this outfield is gonna work. They're gonna have to platoon the outfield then, I think.
No, well, you know how the Yankees like to do in the beginning of the year, Jason, when it's cold. Because of the hamstrings, they like to rotate, you know.
Everybody gets a day off.
Yeah, we get frustrated. Judge goes 3-for-4, and then the next day he has a rest day. And we're like, what the hell? The guy's, you know, 3-for-4. Yeah. And we get frustrated because the analytics.
And that's the only thing that can – and like I was telling Kev, that's the only thing that worries me. Aaron Boone is still the manager of this team. So it's like, if he does bad, what do we do here then? Is he gone? Or what's the excuse this year?
You know what's crazy here? I was thinking about this the other day. Right? How many games we won last year? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you. We won what? 84 games? 82 games? 82 games.
82.
I could remember at least maybe a handful or maybe two handful of games that Boone blew it. That was the manager's decision by the manager that cost us the game. Yes. So you think about, let's say five games. That could have been five. We would have been 87 and 70-something, whatever. So, yeah, I do worry about that, because even when we made it to the ALCS versus the Astros, there was some questionable moves in there. And it's like, you could have the best team in the world, but if they're not managed right, I mean.
That's why I like Brad Ausmus as his bench coach, because he'll have a conversation.
Look at Dave Roberts.
Right.
Yeah.
That guy is covered with all-stars. You know, Mookie, Freddie, Will Smith, you know, the list goes on and on, Clayton Kershaw, whatever. And that guy struggles year in and year out to win a World Series. And for some reason, the Dodgers still want to keep him. Yes, I get it. You can say he won the 2020 World Series. And that's fine. You know, at the end of the day, it's still a World Series.
The COVID year.
But truth is truth, and truth is he can't get it done in a full 162.
No,
and Aaron Boone is literally the AL version of Dave Roberts. The only difference is Aaron Boone is not as cocky. That's literally the only difference. And that's what worries me. And also, not to mention, Hal is too afraid to fire people. He doesn't like. There's a reason why Yankee fans want Cashman out and they want Boone out, especially Boone of all people. Because, like, at the end of the day, Cashman, like, for example, a general manager can make some dumb moves here and there, or you can at least gamble, because we all know not every move is going to pan out great. Like, even if you trade for an all-star or whatever, they might get injured. But a general manager, you know, a great manager, sorry, they could still find a way to talk things over with, like, their general manager, or even look at a guy and be like, you know what, I believe in you. You go out there and play, and all of a sudden you got yourself a solid player at whatever position you need him, even a pitcher. All it takes is a nice manager to talk to you and get you motivated to try your best. But it's like just there were so many games last year. I remember watching with Kev, and there was a pitcher dealing. It could be like 2-3-0 Yankees. No matter how they scored, they were just doing good. Mm-hmm. And it would be like in the fifth inning. And then me and Kev would just look at him and be like, he's going to take him out in a minute, right?
Yep.
Yeah. We were like, let's hope not, but he is. All of a sudden, here comes the buffoon, and he took him out, put in whatever bullpen guy he felt comfortable with, and all of a sudden, here comes the lead. Boom.
The thing with Boone is Boone,
and then he would.
People keep saying he's a baseball guy and all this stuff. He doesn't have a real feel for the game.
Right.
He's going off of a script. You know, he's like, okay, he threw 90 pitches. Time to take him out. The guy's dealing, man. He's dealing. I mean, there's times when I see him go out there in the pitcher, everybody's looking at him like, what are you doing, dude? Like, you know, pitcher's looking at him like, really? Yeah.
How many games he cost Domingo Herman, taking him out a little early?
I think about four. He drove Domingo to drinking.
There he goes. That's aceroso.
Yeah, man. Domingo's in the. That's why after a while you could tell that smile on his face. Like he was just. He probably in that Gatorade bottle, he had a little bit of Brugal in there.
Yeah, yeah. Boone is the opposite of Bruce Bochy, who trusts his guts and has a feeling for the game. But the big reason is Texas won the World Series. Absolutely. The old school manager. We talked about it. Also, Dusty Baker, an old school manager that won with the Astros. Yes, they put analytics in place with the players and the lineup and the type of players they receive. But Dusty still managed according to guts. And the same thing with the Texas Rangers. They put the analytic team out there. You know, they acquire the Seegers and so forth. The year before, bringing in pitchers, the calculated risk analytically wise, to bring in a Scherzer and Montgomery, but the manager still managed with his guts when to take out Montgomery, when to do that, and watch him how he managed the World Series. It was by gut and instinct, and of course, he had a temperature of the game. He knew what the temperature asked for, and I really enjoyed him managing old school baseball, and they, of course, rightfully so, they won the World Series. It shows you what's not broke, what's been playing for over 100-plus years still works to this modern day, but you could still add the information that comes up with analytics, but you still got to manage it, like you said, Jason, with a feel of the game.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I'm trying to – this year, look, they're not going anywhere. Cashman and Boone is going to be here next year. We know that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm trying to start all new. I'm giving them another chance. If we get Soto – and the Yamamoto, I'll give them another chance. But that's it, man. It's this year. If that's it, if they don't get it done this year, man, Hal has to fire them.
No, yeah, we talked about that earlier. We said that it's going to be Cashman. Hal already got himself the parachute because he's going to spend if the trade goes down, which they're saying the medicals are being held. The Padres are looking over the miracle, like Jason said earlier, because Chris asked the question just now, was they looking at Thorpe, who finished the season with an injury. They're checking his medical statuses as well as Michael King, you know, even though he pitched well to close out. But before that, he had a scare the year before. We didn't know he got shut down. We didn't know he was going to get surgery, avoided surgery and so forth. So they're keeping an eye on that because, you know, the Yankees giving up two prospects of pitching who was reported with, you know, pitching arms. They want to make sure everything is hunky dory. They're dotting the I's and crossing the T's before it gets announced. It's going to happen. Everyone 99.9% or they're looking for another team to try to give a better deal, a better prospect. But with the pitching caliber the Yankees are giving, Randy Vasquez, who when he came up and Brito weren't bad pitchers, you know, they're at San Diego's actually getting depth in their system with their pitching. You know, you're getting you know, 5-for-1. So that's why I wanted to go back to Chris to what he asked on that about the medical holdup. But let's we were talking about how with the parachute, I think that sits there for the Yankees. We talked about the closer role. Now let's talk about the lineup here. If it's projected, DJ LeMahieu will be playing some third and some first base, because, of course, you want to give Rizzo that time off. We don't know what Rizzo's a big question mark. We don't know what we're getting from Rizzo with the concussion. If he's going to be ready, if he's going to be focused, and, you know, what we're getting from him. You have no third baseman, although you could say Peraza, complete third. I don't see the Yankees. They were linked to Bregman. I don't think the Yankees and the Astros will trade with one another for Bregman. I don't see that happening here. You heard the reports, the fake rumors. I don't know if it's real, if there's any traction. What did you hear from the Astros?
Dana Brown already confirmed they're not going to bring Bregman because Dana Brown literally said you don't find contact hitters like that anymore, like exactly. Bregman and Soto and all that. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I figured that. And
yeah.
Let me ask you, Jason, do you want a reunion with Jordan Montgomery? I say no.
Me too. I believe in like karma and stuff. That's bad juju. I said we had him. We got rid of him when we had him. And that was a questionable move right there.
I didn't like it.
Like, let it go, you know? Even Sonny Gray, just move on, you know?
Yeah.
I wish him the best, but it's done.
That's like, remember Javier Vasquez? We got rid of him, then we brought him back, and then he pretty much enabled the Red Sox to move on to the World Series after giving that grand slam. Ugh. And no, I wouldn't want Montgomery. He pitched well in the postseason. I was very happy for him. And then Bader says he would never, you know, like, oh, I don't expect me to come back to New York. Well, you kind of sucked.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, that was a bad trade.
Montgomery's defense.
Go ahead.
Hey, okay.
It worked for us. The Montgomery trade. Absolutely. Worked for us. But, also in Montgomery's defense, in Montgomery's defense, so he didn't do bad as a Yankee. It's just, you know. He got traded. He couldn't do anything about that.
It was a high expectation, and it wasn't because the Yankees fans want him out of here.
That's why we were confused when he got traded.
I remember you being iffy about that trade when it first happened.
I was upset. I didn't like Bader. I remember I was like, "Oh, he's you traded a arm, a left-handed pitcher, for a person who was in a walking boot." I know, granted, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have been the Guardians. We would have not gone to the ALCS. We got it. We knew. We heard all that. We got it. Yes, great. At the end of the day, he didn't get us to the World Series. It's just, all right, so what? We played an extra four more games, and we still ended up falling short because of, you know. But Montgomery, the left-handed pitcher for the Yankee Stadium, that's why at that time really pissed me off. You're getting rid of pitching. You weren't being that arrogant, cocky to get rid of your left-handed pitching in the Yankee, a homegrown too. That's what got me mad. A homegrown. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, ugh. I mean,
and not only that, like that whole trade was like weird. Yeah. And then they were saying, well, he's not gonna we don't see him being in our rotation for the playoffs. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like our third best pitcher.
Yeah.
And you're telling me he's not going to make the rotation for the playoffs?
Yeah.
So, you know, and then when we needed it most, and when it came down to it, when our biggest out of that year, we had Clark Schmidt up there.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. It was just mismanagement, to be honest. Yeah. Like, it was crazy. Bring back PTSD.
it brings back bad memories. Yeah. It gets you upset. And go ahead, Hugh.
Yeah. But I think that Verdugo trade, that was a steal.
You got to be beating yourself on the head for that one.
Yeah.
We could sit around here.
He did good. Yeah. He did. Yeah, he did good while he was healthy. But obviously, we all know what ended up happening. One of them's walking in Cincinnati, wondering what would have been. Another one's walking around with the ring on his finger right now.
Yeah. He's not healthy. Bader's not known for being staying healthy. Why do you think St. Louis gave up on him like in a heartbeat? They pretty much ripped him, Rick Montgomery. Well, as soon as the trade gone down, they couldn't say yes any faster. They said yes like it was a fat kid wanting a piece of cake. You know, yes, give me. You know, and that made me worry there with that. But you know, let's see what the Yankees do here. If I think the Soto, again, I know a couple people think that Soto trade is not happening. I don't disagree with you for being a little skeptical or not think it's finalized. I think it's going to get done, and we'll see what the baseball offseason do for the Yankees here. Do you think the Yankees make a trade for a pitcher that we don't even think about? I mean, I haven't heard any rumors for them making a deal for any other pitchers. I think they just get Yamamoto, and I think they're going to stay Pat. I think once they get Yamamoto, I think they're going to stay really Pat and maybe Montas, and I think that's it. I think that's their moves.
I think, Cashman always trying to, find a gem out there. He'll get some guy we never heard of, and we'll see, but sometimes he hits. Sometimes these guys turn out to be studs, and then other times they're not even on the team by the time the summer comes, so we'll see. But I do think we need a little more depth, especially since we don't have nobody else coming up now. We just traded everybody away. So if somebody goes down, who do we bring up?
Yeah. That's because you don't have the Vasquez. What was the kid that started the
Mauricio? World, started,
no, the, no, that's a, he's in the
We'll have Hampton. We'll have
Hampton. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's big league ready though.
He might not be ready. He might be double A. But I'm talking about the kid that started the playoff game for one inning and they yanked him. I know he didn't have a good year last year, and there was still the Dominican kid that pitched the one inning and he got yanked and they put in Hap. And we were like, why? Yeah. Who was not Vasquez. The young kid. I keep forgetting his name, man. And I really was a big fan of him. Look at that, so much that I forgot his name. Debbie. Thank you. Debbie Garcia.
Thank you.
I was like, is he still part of the 40 man? Is he there? What is Debbie Garcia's role? Would he get an opportunity to be like the number 7 starter in case there's injuries or need a spot start? It'll be interesting to see if he's going to be around. I still think the Yankees will try to get some kind. Like you said, Jason. Cashman, one thing we got to give the devil his credit. He gets those type of guys off the radar from the Dollar General that comes in and pitch, the Tachmans, the Carpenter. We didn't expect nothing from him. He knows how to get those players that fit that moment with that spark. And maybe we'll get something there. You never know what shakes off. I hate to throw this name out there, but there's a lot of positive of his workout. Trevor Bauer. I mean,
yeah, I was thinking about that too, but I don't know. You got the whole Bauer and Cole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they say it's not a big deal. They'll play with each other. I don't think the Yankees want that kind of
distractions.
Yeah, especially Soto and stuff. Because Bauer, I like Trevor Bauer, but he can he'll say some things, and because he's not gonna hold back. I mean, he don't have an answer, and he's gonna criticize, and he might have a chip on his shoulder after what
he's
they
kinda,
did. Who knows?
I like Bauer though. He's a new school pitcher, but with the old school mentality. Cause like he'll show you and express to you that he doesn't like being taken out of the game and stuff like that. If he thinks he can get somebody, he'll go right at them. Like that's what I like about him. Like yeah, he goes into analytics and stuff like that, but like his approach is old school. Like he'll go with you with the fastball, he'll go with you with the nasty curve, slider, whatever. Like and he doesn't like being taken out of games if he knows he can get the next batter. Like he did it to Francona. Francona pretty much wanted to yank him out of the game one time, and he threw a ball over center field. He said, "No, I can get the next guy." Stand. What are you doing, Francona?
Yeah, but you can't do that though, man. Yeah. Especially not in pinstripes. It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he'll go good. I think, be honest with you, if he can't bring him home, both Baltimore Orioles will be a good spot for him.
Orioles, you think they'll take him? I think he goes back to the Reds. He had a good.
Reds
you know, he did good with the Reds. You know?
Yeah, he's built something nice where the Reds are building a nice club there. I know they finished two games over 500, but they've been they're trending in the right direction for the Cincinnati Reds on there. But I guess that's it. Any other last things before we say goodnight? Because this was a really good fun show here.
I'll say, man, I hope this deal has to happen, man. And as a Yankee fan, and all the Yankee fans out there, you got to be really excited. This, I understand a lot of people don't like this trade for whatever reason, but this is the deal that we needed. This trade had to happen, and I think we'll be back in the playoffs next year, hopefully.
Yes. And what number you think Soto gets?
I mean, I think he likes 22. Isn't that the case? Right, that's what he wears now, I believe. So I'm not buying the jersey yet. Not yet, but maybe soon. Yeah.
Hey, we got 24 days or 21 more days before you have to get it, before you can get it for the 24th. So hopefully they make this deal. That's why I think the deal is going to get pushed, because of the marketing ability, because you know that's going to be one of the hottest T-shirts and models on MLB.com or the sports shop store, Fanatics. They're going to sell that jersey like hotcakes. Yeah. Hill, give me your thoughts here before we say goodnight.
If I was you guys, I would sleep with my Yankee pillow or blanket, whatever. hope this gets done overnight. And hopefully the Yankees medical staff doesn't mess anything up or whoever's dealing with this. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's even a lie. Hopefully they just lie to them and be like, yeah, everyone's fine. Don't worry. Because you never know. I mean, obviously, Correa showed us. You never know. Something could just get messed up anytime.
Yep.
And first and foremost, just hope Aaron Boone doesn't mess this up this year. we'll see what happens. Hopefully this year's the year you guys are back into it and at least put up a good fight. If not,
it's happening. It's happening. I can't wait.
It's happening.
I'm holding it in, but I'm ready for that tweet to come out so I can just lose my mind.
MLB, I know. It's hard not to get excited when you get in the room.
But the official MLB tracker, which has the blue verification, which anyone these days could get it, is saying that the trade is going through, but not until we get the big new, the big checkmark guys, the credible sources like the Haymans and the Martinos, et cetera, says it's been finalized, done deal. They're saying it's right there at the doorstep. Like you said, Correa's deal was how many times the Mets had him going to they had a press conference almost scheduled and things went the wrong way. So yeah, I understand that, but we shall see. With that there, now I see that could the Brewers move from Corbin Burns? We talked about that too, but I see now a report from Heyman that I was about 2 hours ago putting a question mark if he might get moved there. But it looks like Heyman says looks like the more Montgomery is heading back to your Rangers heel. So Jordan Montgomery, good move for him to go back to the Texas Rangers. This is it. This is the program. We want to thank everyone for joining us here on the Bronx Bomber Strike Back Podcast. Welcome to New York, Juan Soto, maybe. And of course, we will do some more once Yamamoto, where he goes, where he does. And Jason, I hope you're available so you can join us. I really enjoy having you on. Always the door policy is always open. This was fun. I wish we had Chris the Flash joining us, but he's working. And we'll have a nice panel. We'll have a nice round table discussion with more Yankees news. And, man, check it out. Follow us. Hit that like. Let us know your thoughts in the video. It's good to see Maria as well. Thank you, Austin, for joining us. And let's go Yankees, man. Excited now. You know what? Get ready. Get your credit cards ready to put that order in, because that jersey is coming. So, again, may the sports be with you. We'll talk to you next time. Peace out.